And go. Hi, everybody, and welcome to our ERC monthly call. Usually we do these at the end of the month, at the fourth week of the month, but I will be off overseas at the end of the month, so we're doing it early. It's been a really packed 2 weeks, kind of get all of our calls for the month into 2 weeks, but I head out on Thursday to go visit my son in Italy, so I'm excited to be there. So I'm here to support you in whatever way you need, whether it's help with blood sugar balancing program or whether it's help with labs, whatever it is that you need support in, or just some moral support and some emotional support, whatever it is you need to move you forward on your path. Your pathway. And I sent you an email, Jay, and I don't know if you got it.
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
Darn. I need to go look for it then.
I sent you an email on my cell phone from my webinar, my seminar that I was at over the weekend on neuroplasticity, and it had to do with doses of CoQ10, anyway, I'll have to go look that up. I didn't hear back from you, and I was going to, anyway, I didn't look it up, but I will get that back to you.
Yeah, it was on my list to ask you about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were talking about, and now off the top of my head, I'm going to have to pull up my notes before I go ahead and give you the exacts, but it was like, okay, there were some very specific levels of certain things. Oh, it was definitely the fatty acid. That's when I wrote to you, because I was all right on my mind. I said, okay, I'm going to write to Jay, and I didn't hear back. I'm like, huh, I wonder if he's getting my emails. And it was looking at, so I think that what you need to do is a blood spot fatty acid test or a full-blown fatty acid so we can see the ratio. Well,
yeah, I did that. Neutral.
Right. And then you supplemented, right? So we want to make sure you're on the right doses.
Yeah, right? I think Lisa's on top.
Right, and especially since you have some of those SNPs that are related to the fatty acid conversions, right? So I'm going to look at that because we don't want to overdose.
Yeah, and I've been taking lipase too, extra lipase.
Great, yeah.
More than what's in a normal, combo digestive enzyme.
So more than. So you take the digestive enzyme plus the lipase, right?
Right.
Yeah. So I think that it's really important to look at that and optimize it, because there was like some amazing statistics, and it was when people were over, I think it was like 10 grams, actually, people who had known, vascular kind of stuff, that the level of heart attack incidents and stroke incidents went down by 85% over people at lower doses. But again, you don't want to overdose because, right, you can thin your blood too much and cause bleeding. So it's really important to go, okay, this is the dose. Let's do it for a couple months. Now let's go back and test again. Is it the right dose? Do we need to up it? How are those ratios, and what do we need to address? So that's what I was thinking about you. I really want to get that done.
Yeah, I think Lisa's got me on schedule to retest in a couple of months.
Okay, so retest the whole NutriBell or just the?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, well, you might want to consider, and I'll look into this too. There was this company there, it was like $59 to do the blood spot, real simple. Just go do the blood spot and see it rather than the whole NutriVal and waiting. You don't want to do a NutriVal too often because it's super bloody expensive. But for $59, So I will look into that. It was a company called, there was so much information. I'm going to have to go back through my notes. I don't remember the company name. And I have a URL. You're
talking about omega-3s, right?
Yes, it was the omega-3 and the omega-3-6 ratios, right? The arachidonic acid versus the EPA, all that stuff. Yes,
it was just that. I was low on the DHA.
Mm-hmm. And that's the most important for the vascular.
So I'm taking the ratio I'm taking now is pretty much equal amount of EPA to DHA.
It's about 1,500 in each is what you're doing.
1,000 milligrams three times a day.
1,000 total three times a day. And if it's equal ratio, it means you're getting about 1,500 of each every day. Yeah. Okay.
And then I also looked at the Dr. Hopkins brief video that Lynn sent me the link for on the LP little A.
Right.
And I noticed that he had a couple of – he's got slow niacin, 1,500 milligrams a day. L-carnitine, 2,000 to 4,000 milligrams a day. Vitamin C, 3 to 5. L-lysine and L-proline, those were new ones on me. 5 grams and 3 grams. That's a lot. Does any of that ring a bell?
Yes, it does. And those are structural. They're collagen formers. So it's to improve the integrity of the blood vessel so you don't get the breakdown of the blood vessel wall.
My notes were interferes with stickiness for vitamin C, lysine, and proline.
Well, C for sure. Okay, so maybe those do too, and that's another use of it, but it's also for the blood vessel integrity.
And then he also mentioned a baby aspirin.
And I don't agree with that at all. And I'll tell you why, but I don't have, I'm going to grab my notes. Here's what my plan is. I've got a 16 hour flight and I got my little iPad and I'm going to go through all the notes that I took and all the slides that I have. And I'm going to make very concrete notes because I'm not a, contrary to maybe popular belief, I don't have a photographic memory. I have a good analytical memory and I think about, oh, that'll work for this person. Oh, that I'll have to look at that. But I have to see things over and over. Lynn, on the other hand, sees things and remembers it. So I have to go back and review my notes to get the exact dosages. Cause I'm a flow gal. You know, I like to watch the flow and I like to see the pathways and I could close my eyes and see most of the pathways that they presented. But damn if I can remember the names of the things on each of the pieces. It's like, oh. So I literally see all the methylation pathways and now I know those names because I've done it so much. So I'll go back through that and I'll send you an email and let you know, like, what I think, what testing and what some of these new studies are showing with relationship to vascular integrity. Okay. So this is mostly on neuroplasticity, but like one of the people like mostly works in cardiac and she said a lot of this stuff applies and she was talking about some cardiac studies as well. You know, cardiac being cardiovascular and the vascular system we want to really strengthen for you. Okay.
Yeah. Neuroplasticity. I recently read a book by, what's the guy's name? The guy that has done all the research in this area from so long.
Redison? No, Bredesen did the Elms of Alzheimer's.
Gosh, I can't think of it now.
Probably in my notes. I've got
the foundation, and I can't remember. It's a place where you can go, and they've got these for like $5 a month. They've got a whole slew of things that you can do to keep your mind active.
Oh, the brain gym stuff. Yeah, and they talk a lot about that.
A bunch of different areas areas that you wouldn't even imagine.
Yeah.
So it's more than just reading a lot and thinking a lot.
Nope. Very specific ways that you challenge your brain to think and connect things because it's all about neural connections, right? Increasing the neural connection. So this part's connected over here and then boom, your memory just amazing stuff. Literally these people who created some of these slide presentations, they have study after study after study and they had limited each presenter to 90 slides. And in an hour to two presentation, 90 slides, because that's all would fit on the hard drive that they gave us, the little disk drive. And at least three of them said, send me an email and I'll send you the rest of my the extra 90 slides that I did over and above it, like, and just loaded with studies. And that's the stuff I need to go through and just like pull out the little gems in each one. But some of it, some of it was stuff we talk about all the time. A lot of it was stuff we talk about all the time, but lots of little gems like that. And a couple of things I actually texted Lynn, but now I don't remember what I texted her. So I got to do some of those brain gym activities to improve my connections.
So the only other thing that I had in my notes was, I did the training session with Maria, which was great.
Oh, you did.
Except that it was really a little too much for me. Because I've still got trouble getting up off the floor and she had us going up and getting down and going up and getting down and doing sit ups ended up kind of injuring my tailbone, like my coccyx. Uh-oh. And so I'm still recovering from that. So then I started doing some research into there's some abdominal pillows, if you will, or pads.
I was just going to say to you, it's called an ab mat. Me get it.
They're ab mats. But then the more research I did, I put a couple of links in on these two. They have like an extension piece on it. The one from Rogue Fitness has two strips, kind of a gap down the middle for your coccyx bone, I guess, to kind of fit in between. Ooh. So it's suspended. Yeah. And I was thinking that would be pretty good. And I don't know if you were familiar with these or not. I mean, from a chiropractic standpoint, does that make sense? The other one that I put the links in the chat there, and the other one kind of makes a pocket, kind of a trapezoidal kind of pocket that I guess your coccyx bone fits in.
Let me look at it. Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't go for those when I bought mine. I can show you what the one I have, but yeah, that's the tail safe, Matt. Let me see the other one.
I was just looking at this today. I haven't had a chance to send it to Maria. I thought I'd ask her to.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense, and she can give you some good feedback as well. It makes a lot of sense to do that if you have a coccyx issue, if you ever heard it, if, you know, it's sensitive. For me, it wasn't a problem, but I have one of those
ad mats. Everybody. I mean, based on what I was reading, it doesn't affect everybody, and some people, I guess, once they start doing 1,000 sit-ups at a time, develop blisters.
Yeah, oh my, 1,000 at a time. Okay. Yeah, I think this would be good. Let me grab mine. I'll show you the one I have. Mine doesn't have that, but it gives you a sense of what the difference is. I have the official ab mat.
It seems like it makes sense to me because there's, you know, I've got the same problem on a bicycle seat. And so you can buy a bicycle seat that also has a gap in the middle.
That makes sense. It makes total sense. Yeah, this is the one I have. So you see, it doesn't have the hole. I still find it to be really helpful to not, because when you do sit-ups and you're going all the way down and you're not keeping your lumbar lordosis, right? And this is just going to actually give you in here, the way you put this is under your butt like that, and that would give you place so that your coccyx doesn't press against the mat. Now, even though this is softer than the floor, it still could be problematic if you have a coccyx issue. So I think it's a good idea. But yeah, I so would the, definitely.
Yeah, so these two that I'm talking about, they have an extension piece then on the front edge of that. Yeah.
About six. They have, they're like, and you can go that. Now, the other thing, you know, she will customize if you would add, you know, said, hey, I have this issue. Can, you know, you customize, but yeah. And I would highly recommend you then sign up for a couple of sessions with her individually so she can customize your workout. Personally, I've been addicted to having a personal trainer for the last 10 years. So I had one that first I went to the gym.
Yeah, I used to be in the gym a lot and I did personal training. So it's not.
Yeah. So it's really worthwhile.
Frankly, and I do was it with thinking about when I started getting into it, I was thinking about instead of doing yoga and this other type of boot camp stuff, doing Pilates, because I mean, wouldn't the equipment help control the movement?
Yeah, and I don't know much about those. I know they're fancy and I've never used them, but I know that that's what it's intended to, is for build the core without you aggravating or injuring any other parts. So, that could be good too. But, yeah, she's offering some kind of crazy special, like three sessions for $100 or something. So, it's totally
worthwhile. Yeah, I've got all that info.
Oh, good.
That's all I had.
Great. All right. I will get to you. If you don't hear from me, check your spam. But I did send it and maybe it got stuck in the route. But check your spam. But also, if you don't hear from me by next Monday, then let me know for sure that you didn't send from me. And I'll go, my notes. Here's my notes. Okay. Good. I will be like 7 hours later than here when I'm in Europe. So it's going to be completely, you know, crazy times. But.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Anybody else have a question? Rich, we haven't seen you in a while. Hey there. I see your name on the sweet spot calls, but I haven't seen your face on these calls for a little while. So
I know I've been involved. I'm full time back at work and I've just been trying to take care of that mountain of work. So I've been actually taken away from this and I'm trying to get back into it.
Did they save you 4 months worth of work?
I'm a one-man department, so nobody has the skill I have for what I do. Mm. So, well, I mean, the critical things, they would call me on the phone and I would tell them, direct them what to do. But the rest of the stuff was just sitting, waiting. So, So I've been chipping away at it and I've been putting in some extra time. So that's where my focus.
Just so gently with yourself, right?
I've been trying to. I've not got stressed by it. I've just been pacing myself. And so because of that, I don't do the multitasking. It takes me longer to get accomplished what I'm doing because I'm focusing on one thing at a time, which is a good thing.
And how's your body physically feeling from it? Is your neck okay and your physical injuries?
Pretty much, I'm feeling great, actually. I have full range of motion now in both directions.
Awesome.
That was... When I first started in the physical therapy, they started loosening up because I had obviously the torn tendons and ligaments in the neck, especially on the one side. Mm-hmm. And so now I have full motion, which is great. It just gets stiff, and then I just have to loosen it up. But the real good thing was the stamina came back finally. It was like I was on a plateau where I was having my two naps, then I got down to one nap, and then that afternoon nap was hard to shake off because my body would just shut down. It wasn't that I was trying to work through it. I just crashed. And then finally, about, I don't know, I'd say 2 months ago, that went away. My body said, hey, it's time to resume your normal activity. Good. And it was great. It was great. But the other thing
I saw you on the ski slope. I saw your picture on the ski slope.
Yes, exactly.
Is that an old picture or was that recent?
That was recent.
Good for you. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, whoa, he's back on the ski slope. This is so cool.
It was. And again, I had to pace myself. I didn't do my normal 5 hours at a time. I would pick two and a half hours max, go inside and then just rest and eat. And then go back at it. So it's wonderful to be back, and I'm glad to get back and getting back with the program.
Good.
Yeah. I've missed you guys.
We missed you too. How can I support you? I know I thought of you too during this. I mean, there were a few thyroid things that I want to go back and check a few things on you, you know, because it's been a while. It's been since December, I think, when you did your thyroid test and we talked about
making it hard for you.
Could everybody that isn't on the call,
if you're
everybody is muted except Rick. Huh. Somebody might be on the phone. Let's go. Let me click on mute all. Allow participants to unmute themselves. Sure. Mute. Okay, now everybody's muted. I don't know who it was coming from. It wasn't any of the ones we see. It might have been CC or who do I see?
Somebody Paula? With the 510 area code.
510. Oh, 510. That might be Maya. Maya's in that 512 area. Okay, great. So let's get back. Yeah, so I want to make sure you're on track with that thyroid. Oh, wait, unmute. Okay, he unmuted himself. Yeah, I want to make sure you're on track with the stuff you've been doing and seeing how it's supporting your thyroid and seeing if there's some additional work because you've been on that extra supplement and, you know, doing some other lots of good stuff, right? You've been away from the calls but not away from the program, right?
Pretty much it, yes, exactly. I've been doing the thyroid elixirs. And doing those regulars and taking the thyroid PX. I just finished my third bottle. I didn't notice any marked improvement from the standpoint of the cold resistance of the cold hands and feet and the cold body. I was hoping for that, I'd get some type of a relief there, but that didn't seem to come. I upped my dosage. Initially, I started and I was having sort of like a racing heart. And then I think I was taking too many too quickly. So I backed off down to 1-2 and then I finally was able to bring it up to 4 and I was fine.
One of the ways to look at it too is monitoring your body temperature.
Okay.
And I just got some new distinctions on body temperature. So I've always taught, you know, and been taught that we test the first thing in the morning and see where your basal is. And then you test the 3 times throughout the day, about 3 hours apart. You monitor that for 3 days and we take your average and we look to go further with that, you know, to get that normalized. But there's another way too. And I'm going to try to download it from those slides and I'll post it to you guys is a graph that it'll have the temperatures along here and the days along here. And you're just plotting your temperature. And depending on what the graph does, can indicate some things about your thyroid, about your adrenals, and about other things going on, the stress levels, et cetera, going on in your body. And I want to, and then you can actually monitor your own improvement that way, right? Not just the total, the temperature, but the.
Uh-oh. You stopped.
Variation. Oh, I was excited by that.
You froze for a moment there.
I did?
Oh. Yeah, so they missed like about 10 seconds right towards the end.
What did you hear up to?
You were swinging your arm up and then you stopped.
It was something about the variations of that, whatever that
the
was.
The variations, right. It's not the absolute temperature, because that changes, but it's how does it vary, and does that even out more? And there's some very specific ways to interpret the variations based on whether they're in the low end, medium end, higher end. And I think it's a good idea. I don't know if you've tested your temps recently, but just monitoring that temps to see if it's going up at all can be very helpful.
Okay.
Yeah. Good. All right.
The other thing that I was hoping that you'd be able to get a look at some point would be the Dutch test. I finally got that completed.
Oh, you did?
And that's posted up in my tracking site.
I'll open it up, yeah. I have that open right here, and I will find you, Rich, and Dutch.
Lynn, I'm not able to open up my videos in my site as well. I get a couple error messages, and I set a help in the help desk a couple days ago.
Videos for what, Rich?
Videos of the small group coaching sessions monthly. You know that our coach.
Oh, I wonder if that folder has. I'll look here while I'm here. Open a new window. I'll just look here and see if I see. So there's a folder called small group coaching calls.
Yes.
Let me just see what the share level is for that. Okay. And it says anyone with the link can access.
Which I have.
I'm going to give you the link right now. Or, well, it shouldn't say anybody with the link can access. It should just say specific people can. Oh, yeah, right. Only accessible to collaborators. Okay. So let me look. I'm going to post. I'm going to actually put this here, and I'm going to have another email sent, r.car, there we go, notify people, add message, try, okay, check that out, and then I can actually, if that doesn't work, I'll give you the direct link here in the chat, which nobody else will be able to see except for you, but owner is Sequoia. Huh. You should be able to use that. So check your email and see if that works.
Okay, good.
Because it looks like, and then there's private coaching calls, which has a few in there, and you should be able to access that, share. And it looks like you because it has your picture there. So, you know, when I look to see if it, yep, there's your email, rich@gmail.com, and it has your picture, so it's definitely there. But I'll send you this one as well.
Good.
Can organize, add, and edit. Okay, so rich.r. Okay. And I just sent it to you. The first one is the group calls, and the second one is private calls.
Got it.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
Make sure you're logged in before you click it.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're not logged into Gmail, then you won't be able to get access to it. Because it's only for people. It's only for specific people who are listed. So,
yep.
Your coaches and me and Lynn and you. Okay.
Yep.
Fantastic. Anything else?
The Dutch test.
Oh, yeah, the Dutch test. I brought it up. How quickly I forgot. So done, and then I have it here. And is it okay for me to share the screen?
Absolutely.
All right, good. I'll share the screen and we can do a quick run through. Dutch test is here. All right. Do you see it?
Not yet. Now I do.
Okay, good. Good, good. All right. So your estrogen testosterone ratio is good. Let's see. This is your cortisol pattern. You are, Your free cortisol is actually very good, and it's in rhythm. A little high at night. I don't know if you have any difficulty. It's not high out of range high, but higher than the rest of it. It goes a little high at night and a little low in the morning. Do you notice high energy at night, low energy in the morning, higher to get to bed at night and harder to get up in the morning?
Not really.
Okay. It's subtle. It's really subtle.
Yeah,
it's
it has to be. I fall asleep pretty quickly.
You fall asleep easily? Good. Yeah, it's still within the range. It's just at the higher end of the range, and the first morning one is at the lower end of the range.
I must admit, it's now, a little tougher getting out of bed.
You have trouble getting out of bed?
Just a little bit. Just to get out of bed, get on my feet, and then once I get on my feet, I'm all right.
Once you're up, you're okay. Yeah, so it's probably because your cortisol levels are a little on the low side. Yeah. Your total DHEA is okay. It's a little tiny bit on the low side, and it might be being drained, but the total that you're making is actually low. So the metabolized cortisol. So you make a pool of cortisol and then this much of it gets converted to free so you can use. Yep. And percentage wise, the amount you're making is not in the quote unquote normal range, right? It's a little low, but the amount you're actually converting to free cortisol to use is higher. So you're not going to feel the effects of this. Now this may be restoring from having been out of it for 4 months. But on the other hand, yeah, let's look at the rest of it and see what we can see.
Yeah.
It's a kind of a different pattern than I would expect under stress, because I would expect to see if the low production is low, then it might be that way for a while and your other hormones are low. So it's like almost like your body preferentially allowed the precursors to get converted to the sex hormones, which is fine. And to the free cortisol, but the amount you're actually making, the capacity is low, which means you can be headed for some burnout, but we can help you restore that. Okay. I don't look at the numbers. I look at the pictures. I just like pictures much better. Testosterone. Let me see your estrogens. Your total, now this may be related to the thyroid issue, but the ratio of your estriol, E3, to your estrone and estradiol is off. It's low. It should actually be equal to the sum of this estrone, 5.3, and this estradiol, 0.88. The estriol is actually low. In women, it's much more problematic, but it is the protective estrogen. But when the level of iodine is low, that conversion is low. And iodine's related to what? Your thyroid, right? So did we do an iodine load with you? I don't remember.
We did not.
Iodine load test?
Nope.
No. Might be a good thing to do. I don't usually supplement people with iodine unless I see, you know, other than eating some sea vegetables, but unless I see that test, because it can throw things off if there's an autoimmune situation, which there is.
Right? That's odd, because so, I eat a lot of the sea vegetables. I mean, I pound them down in all my smoothies.
You do?
I do.
Yeah. Well, the higher need.
Yep.
Or lack of absorption. Iodine's really hard to absorb, because it just takes a lot of stomach acid. So if your stomach acid tends to be on the low side, it could be challenging. Yeah. Yeah. And the iodine is usually the most affected. So it could be just a little bit of the iodine. You're on the ThyroCare. They have one called Thyroid PX that has iodine in it, but it has a lot of iodine. So I usually don't start people there unless I've had the test and it proves that they really need it. I also don't prefer to do that, because I'd rather control the amount. I'd rather you be in control of the amount that you take rather than the pill, right? If it's 12.5 milligrams and you're taking this three times a day, that's a lot of iodine. And I want you to be in control and be able to up and down the iodine based on symptoms. So an iodine load test might be the next step for you to look at.
Okay. You do have me on Thyroid PX.
Oh, I do have you on Thyroid PX.
Yes.
I do. Maybe it's something else showed up earlier because of the of low thyroid. Well, I would go look at it, but that's kind of weird. So it's not necessarily the iodine. We'll look at it. I have a little picture that shows this pathway. And we can look, see if there's something else in there. It could be low magnesium. And magnesium, based on all the injuries, right? Your need goes way up, way up. So it could be low magnesium. I mean, that's a low risk one to just up the magnesium and see, and maybe see if you feel any different. And also, you eating Brazil nuts for the selenium?
Yes.
How many a day?
About 3 or 4.
3 or 4?
Yep.
Okay. So that should be the good number. The studies have shown 200 micrograms of selenium actually in and of itself can bring down antibodies, and it helps that conversion. Your methylation is very, it's actually high. You're methylating fine.
That's what does that mean?
Unusual. Well, there's methylation pathways. Methylation is one of, it does DNA repair. It helps with detoxing heavy metals. There's a lot of things that methylation does. And people who have MTHFR or other SNPs will tend to be poor methylators. But when we look at you, we look at the 2-hydroxy, which is a different form. It's not methylated form of estrogen, E1. And then we look at your methoxy, which is the methylated form. The methylated is actually much higher than that. So that's a good thing. Your methylation is high, but some people over-methylate. And I'm going to look again in my notes about that, because there was a whole bunch of new research on over-methylation and what can be a problem, what problems it can cause. So I'm making a note about the over-methylation for you. And like I said to Jay, if you don't hear from me by Monday, I'm gonna. If I find the information that I want to send you, I will send it to you by email. If you don't hear from me by Monday, just shoot a message to erc@drritamarie.com, and we'll see what we can do. Because I want to get that information to you, but I don't have it instant recollection. I know where I can find it, but I don't have the instant recollection. But over-methylation can be a problem. It doesn't necessarily mean you're over-methylated, but you are methylating well at least. And if you over-methylate, you can cause some problems, some oxidative stress type problems as well. Okay. When I look at your ratios, your level of the safe estrogen metabolite is the green. That's the 2-hydroxy is actually quite good. When I look at the level of your 4-hydroxy, which is more of the dangerous metabolite, yours is actually quite low. There's not a problem with low. It's on the low end of the normal range. The only one I am concerned about here, especially given your injuries, and there's a lot of repair and collagen repair happening here, is the 16 is low. And the 16 can be dangerous if it's too high. But the 16 also is involved in bone metabolism. And the 16 can convert to this estriol. So we're going to look at that in a moment to look at that pathway of what other things might be, you know, let's play detective and see what other things might be out of balance. But I know low magnesium can contribute to that as well. Low iodine, low magnesium, high levels of things I know you don't do, which are the heterocyclic amines and pesticides and things like that, can contribute. So the average person, we see a lot of this, but you've cleaned up a lot of that stuff. So we're going to look at that pathway in a minute, and I'll show you how to find it. Let's see. And then your cortisol, steroidal DHEA, your cortisol to cortisone. Cortisone is a little on the low side. So I think you're just using more than you're making and more than you're storing of the cortisone. And again, this may be still in the recovery stage from the injury, but we can talk about ways to help that. And this is the new part of the test. They just added this. So those of you at Jay, you didn't have this when you did it, but you'll get it when you redo it. And these are some of the organic acids that are, they found to be important. So melatonin, we know what that is. Yours is below range. So you're not having sleep issues. Do you have problems with staying asleep?
No.
No? You just go to bed and sleep through the night?
Well, I get up once and have to do a pee, usually. I go to bed like 10 o'clock, and I might wake up at 2 between 3 and get up and go pee and then go back to bed.
So I'm going to ask you this question, right? Yeah. When you get up to pee, is it an inordinately large amount of pee?
Usually not.
Okay. And when you wake up, do you immediately notice that you have to pee, or you wake up and then you go, oh, yeah, I have to pee. I guess I'll get up.
Oh, no. I know I have to pee.
So there's pressure.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because sometimes people are waking up because of their cortisol rhythm or their melatonin is off. But what they realize is, oh, I got to pee. I must have woken up to pee. And it's not really, it's really that the rhythm or the lack of melatonin. Melatonin and cortisol are oftentimes oppositely ratioed. So high levels of melatonin, low levels of cortisol, and vice versa.
Interesting.
Oxidative stress markers is on the low side. So that's good. This one is an oxidative stress marker. Your B12 marker is in range. So that's saying, and this is the gold standard for B12, methylmalonic acid. That's within range. Xanurinate, that's a B6 marker, and yours is in range. Pyroglutamate is a glutathione marker, and that's within range. It's in a healthy part of the range. And then here's some of the neurotransmitter metabolites, and your HDA is high, which could indicate, how do I explain this? I don't know if they have a picture, but I can show you if they do. It basically shows you, you've got precursors to dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter that controls pleasure centers of your brain and motivation. And there's a way that if some nutrients are out of balance, your precursors like tyrosine will go down a pathway into this homo HDA as opposed to going to more dopamine. So in a lot of cases when the homovanillate is high, it means that the total amount of dopamine might be low, the dopamine production. Now you're just, barely at the high end of the range. You're not out of the range, but that's something to keep an eye on. In terms of we'll look at the pathway, and if it's not in here, I'll pull up another pathway because I know the pathway is in the organic acid test. And then VMA is fine, and that's related to the norepinephrine, which is another neurotransmitter, and serotonin. So the only one that's at the high end of the range would be the dopamine precursor. Now, a lot of people will say, just give the person some tyrosine and everything will be fine. But when you give more of the tyrosine amino acid, if the imbalance is some nutrients that the body needs to convert it, you're going to make more of this and push you into a dangerous level, because at high levels, it's toxic, right? So we don't want to just jump to say, oh, just give tyrosine, because that's what a lot of folks will do. Just give tyrosine and it's all fine. No, we want to know why. So I'm going to pull up the pathway. I'm going to see if they have a picture of it in this test. And if they don't, I know I can pull up a sample organic acid and we can look at it. Did you memorize this chart?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, good. We'll give you a test at the end. Yeah. All right. Let's see. Oh, they have new ranges. I have to look at those new ranges. All right. Let me pull up. I know where I can find this really cool chart. And I've given it to a couple of you. I think Paula, I gave it to you once. It's either Paula. No. Maybe it was Sandra. No, I think it was Paula. Anyway, I gave you this chart once. But we'll look. And I'm going to go to my site. So I'm going to go to... I'll go to Unstoppable Health and find it easily there. It's actually in the reproductive hormone module that we have in the Elite, the year 2 program. But I'll pull it out. We also teach it in our nutritional endocrinology program to our practitioners in one of the early introductory. Where are we? Okay, good. It always slows it down when we're looking. So I'm going to look at, are you still seeing my screen? You should be, right?
Yep.
Okay, so thyroid, why isn't it showing? Gut repair. You know what? I think if I go to ERC, I should see it. Not foundations, but the regular ERC.
Thyroid was just above where you were.
Thyroid. I don't think it's in the thyroid, though. I think it's in the reproductive. And the reproductive, here we go, bonus program access. Here we go. It should be here. Yeah, elite modules. Here we go. Reproduction. I see things twice because of, as the admin of the site, that just shows up both ways. So it was in reproductive hormone assessment. It's in this one. All right. And slides full. It's towards the end, I think, or towards the middle. And it's the estrogen metabolism slide. You know some here. Okay, so just to give you an idea, I'll show you this one. Your cortisone is here. Cortisol is here and cortisone is here. Here's where relatively balanced your cortisol and cortisone. The active form is the cortisol and your body will store it as cortisone. I get concerned when I see the cortisone significantly lower. Yours was a little lower, which means you're using up some of the stores. But you were making less. So I think having your body under stress for so much time, physical stress, physiologic stress, plus the psychological stress of.
Right.
We went through some of that. But the good news is, here's the good news. Oftentimes what we see in folks is that their DHEA plummets, their testosterone plummets, their estrogen plummets, all of this stuff plummets because all of this precursor is being thrown into cortisol, right? So you're doing okay there. Now, if I go down a little further, CRH, here, this is what I'm looking for. So there's three estrogens that this test measures. There's a lot of estrogens, but the three main estrogens, E1, E2, E3, E1, E2, E3, this is the protective one. This is dangerous in excess, right? So this 16 in you was low, which said, and the estriol was low, which says to me this pathway is sluggish, right? It's, you're not converting from here down to here. So we want to look at why. Well, you're not obese, clearly, hypothyroidism, right? Your thyroid sluggishness. You're not exposed to pesticides. You're not exposed to cimetidine, okay? And then you look here, like certain things will cause it to go down to this 2-hydroxy. You have plenty of this 2-hydroxy. Broccoli, these are all from broccoli and other cruciferous vegetables, exercise, flax. So this is good. This is good. But you also are causing, you know, some issues happening here. Let's see what you might be. Fatty acids are another thing we should look at. Do you have enough of the fatty acids?
Boy, I work at it.
You're working at it. How much are you taking?
Well, let's see. I do the fish oil. I do the chia seeds.
How much fish oil?
I do a teaspoon of the...
the Nordic Natural?
Yeah, it's very clean stuff. It's anchovy and...
okay. So look to see how much is in that. And I would recommend you get another test done. And I would want to see your thyroid, all your thyroid numbers that we did back in December, your lipid panel. Okay. And then I think you've been doing pretty well with the blood sugar if you wanted to do the others. But those are the main ones that I would want to see at this point. Now, remember I said maybe iodine, but the problem, I don't think it's the iodine. I mean, given how much you're eating and how much you're taking, I don't think it's the iodine because this one was low too. So it's not that you have plenty of the 16 and you're not converting to estriol. You just don't have enough of the 16.
Okay.
All right.
Yep.
Yeah. So I would maybe up your magnesium a little bit.
Right.
And look to see how much of the fatty acids you're taking, but see if you can get it up to 2 grams a day total. That might be an extra teaspoon or another half teaspoon.
Okay.
Okay, so I don't know about the magnesium, but it's not. It's worth a try on the magnesium anyway, just because it's protective and it's a good thing for the thyroid conversion. And then let's see where we're at with the thyroid and see what you need to do going forward with that.
How much of the magnesium do you want for a total a day?
I mean, you want to look at bowel tolerance, right? So if you up it and you get diarrhea, then you back it down. So I would say just a little bit before it gets to be bowel tolerance. So it could be 600, 800. Yep.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And so, most of the supplements are 400.
So excess gets excreted if you take too much?
Yeah. Yeah, it goes through your bowel, right? And it depends on the form, too. Like if you're taking liquid ionic, it doesn't go that way. It doesn't go down because it usually gets absorbed before that. But I've never seen any issues with excess magnesium. Overly relaxed muscles, maybe?
okay.
But yeah, if you do it, if you take it orally, like the tablets, like especially citrate, even glycinate is less irritative. But once you get to a certain level, it's like vitamin C. It's like body flushes it, doesn't want anymore.
Yep.
Makes sense. And there are modules in the foundations module. If we go into the foundations piece, oh, it's not in there. But if you go into the foundations, they're in the nutrition piece. There's a little presentation on minerals, another one on vitamins, and then there's a little detail. I think vitamin C and magnesium have their own. Zinc has their own. I can't remember. There's a couple of others that have a separate presentation on those particular vitamins so you can understand, like, not only where you get them, but what they're involved in so you know, like, how to support yourself with it. Okay? And then the doses and all that.
Yep.
Okay.
So DH, are you going to go back to his Dutch test?
We'll go back to his Dutch test, but I want to pull up that organic acid piece. What was your question about the Dutch?
I was just going to ask about his DHEA levels and.
It's a little lower than in by proportion to the testosterone, which says he has good conversion downstream. But it could also be a little bit lower because he's had very high, probably high levels of cortisol over the months leading up to this. And then he started to deplete it. But it's not in a dangerous method. You know, I look at the amounts and is it in the range, but I also like to look at the proportion between the levels. All right. Let me go to.
Yeah, you collected this in January.
Oh, this was January? Oh, this wasn't recent.
Yeah, so keep that in mind.
Okay, yeah. So this is January, and that was when you were still kind of in the recovery stage, right? You weren't fully back up to your full stuff. So some of this stress level is still related to that. I would recommend another one maybe in June.
Okay.
Let me go and I'm going to pull up an organic acid test. Where's the quickest way, Lynn, to find an organic acid test? I think we have samples on the INE website, right? If I go to, yeah. All right. We will go.
I'm looking at one too. It's in ATM. Advanced Testing Mastery.
Yeah, do you have, if you have a copy, if you have a link directly to it, just put it in the chat and I'll go right to it.
Well, here's the link to Advanced Testing Mastery.
Yeah, well, I can get that right here.
Here.
Okay, yeah, that's a separate piece. That's under CMDS, right?
Mm-hmm. I put the link in the chat.
I'm trying to get chat. Okay, got it. Okay.
So I'm just looking here. Here's a sample. Oh, that's.
Yeah, sample would be good.
That was a Genova.
Testing. Usually there's a sample. We have usually samples in here. Here we go.
Here. Organic acid test sample report.
Okay. Is that here? Genova.
Here.
You got it? Okay.
Yeah. I think this is what you're looking for.
Yeah, I want to find that chart that they usually put in it, which shows the neuron, and then it shows the pathway, so I can have him understand, and we can see what cofactors. Yep, Okay, so this is an organic acid test. The Dutch test now takes a subset of like 12 of these that are specifically related to the steroid hormone metabolism because that's what it tests for. And then this is a whole full test. And I think some of you have had this whole full test. Who's had this? Jay, I know you've had it as part of the NutriVal.
NutriVal, not Great Plains.
Yeah, you had it through Genova, right? But they here's what we're looking for. All right, so there is Rich's nerve. Yay. And Rich's nerve has all this chemical activity going on in it.
Why go?
And what they tested for was this HVA, right? Homovanillic acid.
Yep.
Let's make sure, right? HVA. All right. So HVA comes down here and we have dopamine. Oh, and this doesn't show it. It doesn't show the cofactors. Ah.
We want all the dopamine we can get.
We want that dopamine, and what's happening, your dopamine, you're going from L-DOPA to dopamine down to HVA. So some of it's going down this path, more of it's going down this pathway than we find it to be ideal. I have to find another thing. I believe vitamin B6 is a super important one. Are you taking any vitamin B6? I know vitamin B6 is important right here.
No, I was taking it for a while, then, my coach decides to drop all my Bs.
Yeah, I think you need them again. Okay. I think you need the B6 for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Based on this, I think just a B complex plus the extra B6 would be very helpful.
Yeah. In fact, right? It was called a B6 complex.
B perfect. That's even better. That's the thorn one, right? B6 yep. complex. Yep. I would go for however much you need to take to get between 25 and 50 milligrams a day of the P5P.
Yep.
Okay. And then that can push this pathway over. I'll look again. I have a better chart. I just have to find where I have it. That shows all the cofactors for all of these pathways. And I'm going to have to print those out and laminate them and stick them here so I can have them handy. But I know B6 is involved here, but I think there's some other things too as well. Okay, so you see what's happening. You're going this way instead of this way, right? Well, and it's not huge.
What do the blue dots represent at the bottom?
That is the vesicle, and that is the neurotransmitter popping out at the vesicle to stimulate the next nerve, right? So we make these neurotransmitters. They get put into these little vesicles. They get pushed out into the space.
Okay.
This would be, you know what, when you hear about SSRIs, like somebody takes an SSRI Prozac or whatever, what's happening is this would be the serotonin. And what they're doing is rather than helping this person to make more serotonin, they're saying, let's just reuse that serotonin over and over and over and over.
Yeah, so it's blocking the reabsorption?
It's blocking the reuptake, right? So yeah. It comes down here, it gets used, it stimulates the signal, and then the pieces of it get uptaken and then made into some new ones. But after a while, that all breaks down. And that's why people will go on SSRIs and they feel great initially. And then year after year, the doctor's upping their dose because they're not fixing the problem, right? They're not looking at the precursors. And in this case, it would be the dopamine, which would be tyrosine, which gets converted downstream. Yeah, this isn't the one I wanted to have. There's a better picture. Oh, yeah, there's the tyrosine.
So would it help to supplement with tyrosine?
Nah, not until we fix this, right? That's what I was saying earlier. Like if you just supplement with tyrosine, yeah, a little bit more of it's going to go this way. But his norepinephrine, could go up as a result, but more of it's going to go down this way. Similar to when I said to you, no, don't add testosterone because it's just going to get converted to estrogen, right? Some of it is going to be usable, but you're going to create more of the imbalance. And his levels right now of HVA are not it's not out of the safe range. But if you were to give more tyrosine, yeah, you might up the downstream metabolites, but you're also going to up the possibility of the HVA. So I want to fix that problem rather than the tyrosine. Does that make sense? Now, yep. That said, tyrosine is a precursor to thyroid hormone. So it could be helpful to give you tyrosine to help make more thyroid hormone. And we'll be able to see that after we get your test results back. But I'd want to fix this problem first before just dumping in tyrosine because it could make things worse, could aggravate the situation. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay, great. All right, that's it.
So how's he going to fix that problem?
How's he going to fix it? He's going to take some B6 And I'm going to look up, I'm going to find my other chart that I like better than this one that shows me all the cofactors to see if there's something else, if there's another cofactor. But upping the Bs, adding the B6 complex back in, and then going back to here, I'm going to look into see the methylation factors. The other thing is a possibility is niacin. Again, I want to see what your your lipid profile is, but niacin is a vasodilator. And, you know, you're saying you're cold, right? Well, you live in Vermont, Rich. You're going to be cold. New Hampshire. Sorry. you live up in that cold north, and you're going to be colder than Jay and I are being in Texas, you know? And you guys are, all of you are northerners, right? Where are you, Ellen? Are you in the north too? I can't hear you.
She's in California.
He's in California.
Southern California, yeah.
There you go. So she didn't have to worry about that. But Paul is up in Chicago. Rich is in New Hampshire. Lynn is in Iowa, although right now she's enjoying Florida, right? So you're going to be more cold because you're exposed to more, but your body should be able to adapt. I may be cold if I go to New Hampshire, but I'm certainly not going to be cold in Austin, Texas. So, but niacin's a good vasodilator, and I believe it's involved in one of those pathways. It also can mop up excess methylation factors if there's excess. So that's a possibility as well. You're doing your thyroid.
Just so you know,
yeah,
my mother was watching some of this.
Yeah,
and she thought that was really fascinating.
She thought it was fascinating. Woohoo! Yeah. Good. Tell her, yeah, Mom, I know this stuff too.
Mm-hmm. So did the B6 show up in the organics part of this test?
Yeah. So where I'm seeing that is if I go to the test.
And by the way, I sent in I did my strip collection over the weekend, so I sent that in on Monday.
Oh, good. Great. You should have that test back. Yeah, so in this organic acid piece of it, right? Yeah. And again, if he had done an organics test, we would have seen it as well. This is where it is. So it's the high end of range of the HVA, right? And if we go back to this picture, the HVA is here.
Okay.
So is dopamine's being converted this way more, as opposed to going this way. And I know for a fact that B6 is one of the cofactors for this dopamine beta hydroxylase. So he's not converting as much as he should.
Yes, how much B6 should he be taking?
Between 25 and 50 milligrams of P5P. And it's forgiving as that, because the reason I say the distance is he's taken a complex. So I don't know how much is in the complex. If it's 35, great. You know, if it's 25, great. If it's 50, fine, right? Just pee out the excess. B6 doesn't become toxic until you get to huge amounts like 500 milligrams, and then it can actually create some neurodegeneration. But you and I talked about the B6 once, and that there's actually some studies that show it protects in high doses.
Yeah, I'm taking 275.
Yeah, you're still in a safe range, but a high enough dose, right? And if you're taking it as P5P or combination of
P5P.
P5P. So that's a super high dose of P5P, super high, because usually we give between 25 and 50, right? We see how it goes.
I've got neuropathy too.
For neuropathy, yeah. But then you don't want to go above the 500 because long-term has been shown to contribute to neuropathy. So, and there are a couple of other things about neuropathy. You know, when I go through, I was thinking about you a lot, Jay, over this weekend, because it was like, oh, I got to talk to Jay about that. Oh, I got to talk to Jay about that. Okay. Cause the neuropathies came up and the vascular integrity came up and, a couple of other, well, the neuroplasticity is good for everybody, but yeah, definitely was thinking about you. And I'll go back through my notes and sort through it. I mean, I got home at 9 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock actually on Sunday. And then I went into all day today and all day yesterday, constant nonstop appointments. So I haven't had a chance to sit with my notes, but I'm going to be on an airplane for 14 to 18 or some ridiculous number of hours. And that's where my iPad is my friend and I read a lot and I, you know, hopefully they'll have a plug because my iPad won't last 14 hours.
So Rich, have you ever tried niacin?
I haven't, no.
So there's a flushing effect, which means that depending on how your body reacts to it, if you're sensitive to it, your face is going to turn red. You're going to heat up pretty quick.
Well, I like that idea.
You take a really big dose, your skin's going to get itchy as hell.
Well,
so if you want to minimize that, there's a brand that Dr. Hopkins pointed us to, which is slow niacin, SLO-niacin. and it comes in 500 and 750 milligram versions.
And usually what I recommend is you start with small dose. So you start with 100, which is the smallest dose you can get. You take that, and then you just see what the effect is. If you go, whoa, I love this, I feel warm. And then you go to 200 and you go, whoa, I hate this, I feel itchy, I'm going to die. Then you stick with the 100, right? Or you then, if we find that we really do want you on higher doses than the slow niacin, which you won't have as much of an effect. But what we're trying to go for you is to give you some of that vasodilation. I recommend it to some people with Raynaud's and other things where there's a vasodilation is really needed because there's a lot of constriction. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So
if you buy 100 milligrams and you get a lot of flushing, just cut it in half with a sharp knife.
Exactly.
All right.
And just keep cutting it down until, you know, till you get to a point where you can tolerate it.
I'll tell you my niacin story. I have two niacin stories that are quite funny. One time while I was still in school, a friend of mine came over and we were studying together and we were doing some muscle testing and we were playing around with nutrients and he left. And I was home, and all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, the doorbell rings. He goes, I think I need to go to the emergency room. I'm like, what? What? He goes, my face is completely red. My skin is itchy. I feel like I'm, like, on fire. I'm like, did you take niacin? We were just playing around with, yeah, how much did you take? I don't know, 300, 500, something like that. He said, just sit down, relax. It'll wear off in a half an hour. But he was, like, freaked out. I'm like, it's the niacin. Don't worry about it. So then I bought some niacin, and I thought, let me see. Because I'm reading about like going slowly and the dose dependent. And so I took one and, you know, an hour later I felt nothing. Okay. So I took two. An hour later, I took another one. Nothing. I took three. By the time I'd gone to bed, I took three and I went, okay, I guess my dose for niacin is much higher than that. So the next day I got up, I said, let me try this again. So I took either four or five and I was on fire. I was like, you know, like when you get a really bad sunburn and then when the sunburn starts to go away and you get really itchy, it was both of those together.
Whoosh.
And I'm like, oh, yeah. And it's red. You could see it. My whole body was red and it takes about an hour or two.
Yeah. Time and water.
And lots of water. Oh my God.
Water.
Yeah.
Drinking water or shower water?
Both. Both. But drinking, yeah, you want to dilute the effect. Yeah.
Right. Right.
So just, you know, be careful. It's an inexpensive supplement. So if you end up taking a few and you just can't take it anymore, you wasted $12 or something. It's really not a big deal. Right. Okay. But it's definitely that warming, that vasodilation can be helpful.
Is that the brand name, Slow Niacin?
Well,
I put the link in the chat.
Yeah, and then that's the 500. So the other way to get
those are time released.
Those are time released. So I wouldn't start.
So those are 500 and 750, which I can take a 750, and I don't really – every once in a while when the second layer – I think they're like in layers. So when the second layer kicks in, sometimes I can feel it. But I think she's talking about starting you off just on plain regular.
Right. Oh, and actually you can get Seeking Health. Here, I'm going to give you the link to this. Seeking Health has them in 50s, thank goodness, because that's much easier for people to start with because some people have a really – but I want you to build up to the point and don't do it as quickly as I did, right? But start in the morning, have one, you know, do it on a Saturday or Sunday so you're not at work, whatever, because it's kind of cruddy when you're at work and you suddenly are like
– yeah, do it at home.
Do it at home for sure.
Before you jump in the car to go to work.
All right.
The one I take is 50 milligrams.
Oh, you take the 50? You take this? I just
sometimes, the lozenge.
And how is that going? Because did you build it up? Because we were trying to get you to take it before you go out to help with that.
Well, I stopped because some days I will get a bad reaction, like a ring in my inside my ears, hot and strange sensation.
Was it at a high dose or was it at the lower dose?
The day that I would take maybe twice.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I take it only when it's really, really cold.
When it's really, really cold. Got it. Mm-hmm. All right. So check it out, Rich, and see how it goes. You know, it could be very helpful. And the good, I'm glad this is 50. I thought the small.
Yeah, that one. Yeah.
Yeah, the 50 is good. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool. All right. Who else? Thank you, Rich.
Thank you.
Very good learning opportunity for all of us.
Well, I need some help.
Okay.
Okay. Are you done, Rich?
Yep.
Rich?
All set. Thanks.
Okay. So I don't know if you have you read my journal or not, but if you can see my face, I'm not doing very good.
So that reaction still hasn't subsided. I know I read it.
No, it got worse.
It got worse.
It got worse. So, I did the flush with the vitamin C.
Yep.
But I suspect because I have very slow metabolism, I took a lot more than I needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I reacted way later. So
diarrhea came way later rather than right away.
That's right. So, and then it continued.
Okay.
For how many? It wasn't even diarrhea. It was water. Just water.
Well, that's what it's supposed to. The vitamin C flush does get you to a water.
Yeah, but it was watery diarrhea. Water.
It was a lot of water. So you then were getting dehydrated.
Yes, yeah. I think. So it was, so supposedly according to the document, that evening I should have taken a 10% of the dose, which I didn't. I took much less because I was like...
Because you were still exhausted. Yeah, you probably shouldn't have taken anything at that point, yeah.
Yeah, well, I took, and I cut my magnesium in half because I said, I shouldn't be overdosing with this. And the next day, I suppose I should be having taken 75%, but I was out of the perk, and around here, I only was able to find it now. That is mm-hmm. absolutely vile. The taste.
I tried that once. It is vile. It's awful.
Oh my God. Horrible.
Yeah.
I was gagging.
I tried that when I traveled and I was like out of my vitamin C and it was just awful. I hear you. So, had the diarrhea slowed down by then?
Actually, I pooped until the next day at 7 a.m. in the morning.
Okay.
And then I didn't poop at all. Mm-hmm. And I haven't got back to my rhythm.
Okay, so this was just this past weekend.
Yes, on Saturday I did it.
But then when did the skin get worse? Did the skin get worse before the flush or after?
Well, it was bad before and it got worse after.
Got worse after.
So
I wonder if, you did it with the perk.
Yes, and I have the perk again, so I'll be taking.
You'd been taking the perk before, so you hadn't really had.
Yeah.
Okay,
I was taking half a teaspoon, two or three times a day, and I took 79.5 milligrams.
Okay, 79.5. Okay, so so that would mean that if let's just say you overshot it by 10, you know, maybe it's 69, 70, something like that, maybe even 65, 75% of that would make it, let's just say, you know, somewhere in the 45 to 50 range. It's still a lot more than what you were taking, right?
Yeah,
but I wouldn't go back and try to do that 75% right away, unless you did. I mean, you did take that 75%?
No, I just got it.
You just got it. See, you tried a couple of doses on that, not now, and you said, forget it, I'm not taking it.
Yeah, no, I did. No, yeah. not that much because it's impossible. I would die.
Yeah, it's really vile. I knew
disgusting,
what you mean.
Yeah.
So you have quercetin, correct?
Yes.
You have some quercetin. Have you continued to take the quercetin or just stopped?
I take twice a day. I do three doses.
So twice a day you're doing, so that's about 3,000 you're doing. 500 times 6, right?
Yeah.
About 3,000. Okay. And then the vitamin C. So, and nothing. Is it just your face or is it on the rest of your body as well?
Originally everything started on my left side and then the style, I don't know if it's related to it or, and I also had an abscess on my right butt cheek. So from the left, everything moved to the right. And then now I have both.
Now it's on both.
Just,
oh, Lordy.
Yeah.
Are there other symptoms besides, so your eyes running as well, or is it just the skin?
Well, the eyes are dry.
They're dry.
When I woke up, they were sticky. One of them, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look like pink eye.
Yeah, you'd be able to tell if it was pink eye, right? The whole thing would be really red.
Yeah, but it looks like this thing here, this dye, is oozing maybe.
Okay. And this all started, I mean, it started a while back when you first suspected it was a high dose of a probiotic food.
It was kombucha. Yeah, it started after Valentine's Day.
Okay, with the
and
kombucha.
Since then, it's like, you know, I get better and then I get worse.
So it has been up and down. Has it gone away completely at all, or has it just gotten a little better and then worse and better and worse?
No, it went away. It went away and then it came back.
Okay.
But, you know, now I'm just eating a lot less things that I was eating before.
Right. Right. So when it came back, was that not this weekend, but the weekend before when you wrote it in your journal or right before that, correct?
Yes.
And you weren't able to trace it to some other different food that you ate or something you ate in larger quantity?
No. And the strange is that, well, I feel that I'm reacting to more things now.
Yeah.
Because I clean my diet quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that you could consider to try to calm the whole system down would be a fasting, not a fast per se. It doesn't have to be a full fast, but like a liquid diet with just like even just a powdered mix, you know, like one of the MediClear, Ultra Clear. So one of those food things that is complete and people can do it for 4, 5, 6 days to do a detox. But it's got a lot of nutrients. It's got the protein. It's got some good fats and you can add your omega-3s to it. But just to calm your system down so you're not eating food and requiring your body to digest it. So you calm your gut down.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then just do that for 3, 4, 5 days. You know, especially you could start it on a Friday, go through the weekend, finish it on a Monday, and then start gradually introducing things back. That should give you a big enough window to try to calm everything down. Does that make sense? You'd continue on your quercetin, your extra vitamin C, your magnesium. You'd continue on your supplements pretty much.
Yeah.
But this would replace your meals. And it's pretty easy to do. It's not like fasting where it's really hard to do.
Well, I was, when I did the flush, I didn't need anything until I pooped, basically, which was up 5 p.m.
Right.
Or something like that. I understand what you're saying. I'm not sure if I'm ready to do something like that. And I'm not sure what protein powder, because they all have something that is either, you know, something that an ingredient that I cannot take right now.
Right. Look at Thorn MediClear Plus. Thorn MediClear Plus. It's actually a food that's intended, has nutrients in it to help heal leaky gut. It's got some antioxidants like the glutathione and things. It has quercetin in it, so you could reduce your quercetin if you're taking it. I would look at that one. It's pretty clean. I mean, they're all going to have stuff in it, but if you have something you're allergic to in it, obviously you don't want to take it. But it's really balanced. I've had people on it. I've had people go on it for 10 days at a time. And because they loved how they felt, you know, they were going to do a 4-day detox on it and they loved how they felt and they just kept going.
So then you take this thing. So instead of breakfast, lunch and dinner, you have these.
Yeah, you're going to make the shake. You can add a little bit of essential fatty acids to it, right? To give it a little bit of extra. And that's all you do. And you do it for 4 days.
Well, I'm not sure if I can, but
Okay, what does that mean? I'm not sure if I can. Tell me.
Well, I'm not, I never do fasts, you know, so. You know, for somebody else that had done it before, it's all no problem, but I.
What do you think the problem would be?
I don't know. I just hate being so restricted. I hate it.
That's what I'm trying to get. Like, into. You're not so
it's
restricted.
Like a, yeah, it's not. I don't like not having fun.
Absolutely. I hear you. I hear you. What if you change the way you thought about it, though, right? It's a temporary thing. A short term to give you the positive gain, to give your gut a little bit of healing, right? And to decrease the sensitivity so that you can introduce more things. What my concern is that if you keep going, okay, I'm just going to take this out, I'm going to take that out, and what could I eat? And get more and more frustrated, and you don't know what's causing it. And meanwhile, you know, some of the antigens are leaking into your system. It's causing a reaction, causing a histamine reaction. I mean, the other possibility you can try, I hate these supplements, but they can definitely help, is DAO. DAO is an enzyme that helps to break down the histamines, and it works really well for a lot of folks and helps people to expand on what they could eat. My big problem with the darn DAO supplements, they all come from the same source and they have shellac and sucrose in them. And I actually spoke to one of the manufacturers. I said, well, when are you going to have a DAO? He goes, well, we're limited. We can only get it from one source. And all the companies are getting it from that same source. So there's no good DAO. So it's a last resort thing, but, you know, it's better than taking Benadryl, and it's better than something to get you the relief and get the histamine levels down. So, I mean, those are two options that I could offer. I think that it's a calming down, and we're looking at doing an extreme food limit for a short period of time versus this, oh, I'll take this out. No, that didn't work. Let me take this out. And it gets very frustrating and old. Yeah. So it's a matter of, well, do I want to suffer with not having fun with my food for a period of time? Or do I want to suffer with being completely broken out with this hive reaction, this histamine reaction, and not knowing what it is?
Another thought I have, and I'm not sure if this is possible or not. I have a cracked tooth that has an amalgam. I'm going to get it. I have an appointment on, you know, in my city, there are no holistic dentists. So I have to go to close to Milwaukee, and they cannot see me until the second.
Okay.
So could this be something, some mercury or whatever?
It could be leaching something in your system that's causing a serious problem. Yes. Which tooth is it?
One. I don't know. My dentist didn't tell me which one. I made an appointment to have it fixed, and I didn't. And then I thought, I said, well, maybe I should ask if it has an amalgam or not. And I called, and yes, it had an amalgam. Yes. So I canceled the appointment. And I spoke with him and said, look, you know, I don't want to run the risk of getting sicker. So right. I will do it with a holistic dentist.
With a holistic dentist, right, with all the damming and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Lynn, if you can, do you know where you have handy access to that, the chart that we have with the numbering the tooths and then having the relationship to what meridian it's related to? So the teeth, in Chinese medicine, they map the teeth to particular meridians and organ systems, right? Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see which that one is. And you'll be able to look in your mouth and feel around and count, right, when you look at the chart. You may not know, like, oh, it's number 4, it's number 31 or whatever. But you can take this chart and you can look at it and see what meridians. And, yeah, it can have a huge effect, the tooth inflammation itself, but on top of it having an amalgam and it's cracked and it's leaching mercury into your system. So the vitamin C, you know, whatever dose you can take right now, I would take, you know, try going instead of one half teaspoon twice a day, try doing a full teaspoon two or three times a day.
Well, right now I just did two teaspoons.
Okay.
Yeah. So I bought a bottle of liposomal vitamin C.
Great.
And I took one last night, and I took one this morning too.
You know, liposomal is kind of like IV. It gets right into the cells because of the liposomes, right? So I've read a lot of studies with people taking 10 grams a day. Now, super expensive, but you're only taking it for a short time. 10 grams a day to get over an acute infection. Right? So that could be something that's worth doing, especially right now to really, because most likely there's an infection in the socket, right? Most likely, because that's usually what happens. There's other organisms that will live inside those. And then when it cracks, a lot of that toxic waste from those organisms are spilling into your body. And that could be enhancing. Maybe you're slightly sensitive to histamines. And suddenly now you've got this huge response where your immune system's trying to react and the histamine foods are actually aggravating you, but it may have nothing to do with histamine sensitivity.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's certainly things that you can help to dampen the effect, but it may not be a long-term histamine reaction. And that's why, you know, consider getting this. You can't get till the second. Consider even just getting the stuff and trying a day of it.
And then try
2 days of it. And then try three, you know what I'm saying? To just allow some calming, but not, you're thin. You don't want to lose more weight. So I don't want you to get depleted.
Yeah.
But I want you to maintain it, maintain the nutrition. And also there's a lot in there for healing leaky gut and glutathione and catalase and some of those antioxidants for supporting the liver. But read it carefully. If I go here and I go Thorne MediClear Plus, here we go.
I put the link in the chat.
Oh, you did? Okay, good. Good. Thank you. Perfect. I'm just going to see exactly. This is the cleanest of those full spectrum medical foods. Some of them have sucrose in them. Metagenics has fructose in it. But this one's clean. Some of them have whey. Let's see. Click here for the PDF. So go to the site. Whoops. Thorne's site is not looking lovely.
Okay, well, I'll find it.
It'll be there. You'll find some site. This is not Thorne itself. So you find where the ingredients are. And let's see if it's here on the ingredients. Here we go.
The only thing I saw in there was it has pea and rice. I mean, if you're not comfortable with pea or rice protein.
Yeah, it's
pea. No, I had pea protein before. Yeah. You know, some is not a little grainy.
Yeah. I mean, it's got all this good nutrition for an antioxidants. There's just a lot of good stuff in here. And this doesn't have, I think it has some stevia in it or something for sweetener. And a lot of them have a lot more than that. So you can look at it, read it, and all this stuff. It looks like, oh my God, it has so much stuff. It's just like a multivitamin having a lot of this. It has MCT oil. It has so much in it that, you know, you're not going to go malnourished for days. You're not going to deplete the body. Sometimes when we fast or we do detoxes, we deplete the body and you pay the price. It's okay because the benefits are so good, but you're not going to do that. You're really going to, you'll stay satiated. You're going to still have a shake. It's just going to be this. If, you know, I would even not do a green powder in it just because I want to make sure that you're not reacting to it. It's made to be hypoallergenic. So you would do this for a couple of days. And if you then, you're starting to feel better and you add some green powder. If you're going to do it long term, I'd have you add green powder to it as long as you weren't reacting. But because of the histamine response, potentially, that may aggravate that. So I'm trying to get you on just pure nutrition, like pure nutrients versus food for a few days, which is the opposite of what I usually like to do, obviously. But, you know, we're trying to calm it down. Personally, if it was me, I'd fast. But you're not a faster. Right? You've never done this before. I'm not going to throw you into doing that. But try this because you can do this for, I've had people go, wow, I don't know if I can do this. And then like, oh, can I continue past 4 days? I think one bottle gives you four days.
Well, so far, you know, I'm doing many things I never thought I was going to do before, you know. So it's like, maybe if I look a year back, I'll say, what? You know.
Yeah, what did I do?
Yeah. And I have one more question.
Yeah.
Next week, I'm seeing my new regular doctor.
Mm-hmm.
She probably would like to do some tests. Any suggestions?
Sure. I would have, you know, the standard blood panel with the chemistry, which would include lipids and iron and ferritin. That's what stuff that a lot of them don't do, iron and ferritin. That was what I sent you. I sent you this really cool chart of iron and ferritin, you know, for diagnosing anemia, Lynn. That's what I sent you that I was excited about. Iron, ferritin, homocysteine, C-reactive protein, highly sensitive. C-reactive protein, CRP-HS, hemoglobin A1C. I don't know if I said that already. The standard stuff, which would have glucose and all that. Yeah.
Okay. Did you want the highly sensitive C-reactive protein?
Always highly sensitive. Yeah, the other one's hardly done anymore, but some people still do it. But yeah. Highly sensitive. I would also do a fasting insulin. I mean, half of them you're going to ask them for and they're not going to give you, but in an ideal world, this is what I would want because I want to see, you know, how are you maintaining your glucose? How is your insulin levels going, right? What's it been over time? Been working hard at it, but sometimes it shoots up. And so what's that about, right? So I would look at that. You said iron and ferritin, MCV.
Homocysteine. MCD.
MCV is part of a CBC. They'll do a CBC. They always CBC. Do.
Okay.
But part of that is...
You said C-reactive...
Protein HS, highly sensitive.
Okay. Then fasting insulin.
Fasting insulin. Hemoglobin A1C.
I put a link in here. You once wrote this article about the five most useful lab tests for measuring your health.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
And it's, she's like, oh, I did?
A long time ago. I've written a lot.
Yes, you have. Anyway, so a lot of that is in there if that helps you.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
it's also on the ERC site. If you go to, where is it? Where'd it go? Where'd my ERC site go? Here we go. Oops, I'll have to go back to Unstoppable Health. On the site, there's a really good list that I put together for you guys. Okay, here we go. So if I go to ERC, the one that says Discovery, we renamed Discovery to make it less medical sounding because we're trying to discover what your imbalances are, right? That's not medical terminology. Okay, so if we go to lab testing instructions, once we find the PDF, I'll send you there. And it describes it here, what can be tested and all this, but then there's a download. If you have any recent labs, upload it, review this document. Here we go. This one.
Okay.
Okay, I'll put it in the chat. Taste. Yeah, so I'm going to look at this to see if there's anything on here that vitamin D for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this is good. Let's see. CBC, they should be doing comprehensive metabolic panel. Just make sure they do this whole they usually do, but some of them leave some pieces out. Somebody came to me and they had a test results and they didn't have lipids. Well, the doctor said, I've never had a heart problem before. When was the last time you got these tested? I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. So he doesn't want to test it again. I'm like, okay.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I can take this.
Yeah, just look at this and just take this with you to the doctor and say, hey, can you run these?
So, well, I mean, I have an insurance that I have a super high deductible.
Oh.
So I sometimes I find that the test that I do outside their system, I pay less.
Yeah.
But the problem is they don't have it on the records.
Yeah.
You know, they have that my chart thing. And you cannot upload things there.
Yeah, I see. Okay, so there you go. You can read through that and that'll tell you. Okay.
All right.
So good luck with this. Let us know how you fare and hopefully you'll get this thing calmed down.
Yeah, I hope so.
You know, the other thing is a bath with apple cider vinegar in the bath can be helpful, and Epsom salts in the bath. And even if you're comfortable with it, like trying to do a little castor oil pack, a mini castor oil pack around the area to help calm it down. And I, the other thing I've done with folks to get the hives and the histamine reactions down, in addition to the oral vitamin C and all, is like flax oil and mixed with castor oil and just rubbing it on the area can be very helpful.
Flax oil and castor oil.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, kind of put, you know, just rub it on there. You know, like a mask. Little packs, especially if it's your eyes, you can use gauze and, you know, you're not going to use a big old flannel castor oil pack on your face, but you can use gauze to soak
it. How long you leave it?
I would leave it for at least an hour.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
You're not going to put a hot pack over your face. It's just not going to happen, right? Crazy.
You have to heat it up. But I never.
No. You wouldn't do it. So leave it on longer. Like if you're doing it with a hot pack, if you're doing it over your belly or your liver, and that's another option too, is to do the castor oil over your liver and your belly. Because it helps with the detoxification and helps with the histamine reactions and helps bring everything down. So make a castor oil pack and just make it big enough to, you're small enough. You're not, you know, huge. So you make a big enough to just go from right below your rib cage down to almost your pubic bones or even to your pubic bones and then side to side. And then just lay that down and put some heat over it to drive the castor oil in. Can be very helpful.
Okay. Okay. So going back to the vitamin C, so what dose?
Well, you calculated about 76, which would calculate to 75% of 76 is probably around, you know, 40 something, 50, whatever.
Okay.
But I would say that might be a little off because you said you went a little, your body might not have reacted. But I would see two teaspoons of that perk is about 3,000. Maybe even more. I think one teaspoon is 3,000. So I think two teaspoons teaspoon is 3,000. So two teaspoons is 6, and you're doing 6 times 3 is 18. Stay with that for a few days, and as long as you're not aggravated, irritated, if you want to go up a little bit more, you can. You can make it 3 teaspoons and see how you go. But if you start to get diarrhea, you back it off.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. But you want your bowels to be flowing, right? 2 or 3 times a day is not diarrhea. It's actually good because you want this toxicity out.
Out, yeah.
Yeah, enema can be helpful to just push everything out. If you're not, now you don't need an enema because you just had an induced enema, vitamin C induced enema, so to speak. But if you start to get backed up again, up the vitamin C or do an enema while you're waiting for it to take hold. Just to move things out. But you probably don't need an enema. You probably just need to up your vitamin C. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Wonderful. You're welcome. Oh, sure. Right. Who else?
Okay.
Ellen.
I have a question. Actually, it's something that one of my coaches mentioned a while back, and I just forgot to ask you about it. And I have a document with a number on there, but I can't see how to get to it now. How can I get out of the full screen? Says escape.
Up at the top, yeah, you can hit escape, I think. And up at the top, there should be a drop down that says exit, stop full screen.
Okay, I just did the escape, and that gave me access to my own screen, so I can find the document.
I'll stop the share. Is it on your... On your Google Drive? Because I can pull it up on your Google Drive.
No, it's just on my
computer.
On my desktop. Actually, it was regarding the complaints that I had after taking some cognitive testing for my brain. And the comment was, given my past results from the neurotransmitter assessment, which she had entered into the program, I guess, last year. She was suspecting that there might be a problem with methylation.
Mm-hmm.
And between the neurotransmitter assessment and the homocysteine the high homocysteine test result, she suggested that there might be something wrong with a problem in the methylation pathways, and that she suggested I brought it up to you.
Yeah. So a couple of things you can do with that. You haven't done genetics yet, right? So we don't know some genetic SNPs. There's a couple of ways to test for that. If you have a high homocysteine, that's a very strong indicator that your B12 and your B6 are off, and it's part of the whole methylation pathway. So very strong indicator that that's there. If in addition you have a high MCV on your blood test, MCV, like if it's over 89 or 90, then that's more another suggestion there, right?
Okay, I don't remember for sure, but I do remember you mentioning MCV. I just don't remember what the score was.
I'll look. Where is she? Ellen. Oh, there you are, Ellen. All right, let's see what you got. Labs. Master Health Tracker. I'll look at your Master Health Tracker. And then I have that note that I have from a call note that we did. And I'll look at that too. So let me just look real quick here. Lab results. I remember this. Are you addressing the low zinc with the alkaline phosphatase being low?
I just got the zinc. It took me a while, but I just got it, so I haven't started taking it yet.
Yeah, I would start taking that because that's important for methylation. Let's see. Okay. So red blood cell, hemoglobin.
And you recommended the Thinking Health B12 and the liposome B12, and that's why I've been taking those.
How much are you taking of each of those?
I think you told me to start out with a few drops and work my way up. So I've been working my way up rather slowly. I'm up like at 15 drops.
Okay.
Each day.
And did you notice any positive or negative effects from that?
I haven't noticed anything.
Okay. Yeah. So you can get up to, I'm thinking like 10 drops of that is about 1,000 micrograms of B12. How long have you been taking that?
I think I started it in March, but I'm not certain exactly when. Okay. I have to look. Maybe if I looked at the Master Health Tracker, I could find where I started it. But
let me look there.
It might have even been the beginning of April. I'm not sure.
Okay, and so you just gradually. So you've only been on the higher dose for a little while.
Yeah, I just started at 15. I mean, I started out with like 5 drops, and I went to 10 drops or 7, and then 10, and then 15.
It says 318.
Okay, so sometime in March. That's when I started it. And I'm also taking the B6 complex, which I've been taking for a while. And then...
How long's a while? Like months or just a...
Months.
Months. Okay. B6. Yeah. That would be the thorn. Okay. All right. Yeah. So, so we're addressing the methylation issues. There are ways to test for it. You can certainly test your genetics, but there's also a methylation... factors panel that Doctors Data has, where they actually test the different methylated folate, they test all the different nutrients in their methylated forms, and they test some of the cofactors in the middle. I don't run that all that often. Generally, what I do is have a person up the B12 in the folate and do that for like 2 to 3 months, and then let's go back and just do the standard, cheapo direct labs, $97 panel and look at the CBC again, or even just do the CBC, but I'd want to do the homocysteine. So you could do a homocysteine and a CBC, which would probably run you about $70. And then we can look at those. And if those aren't shifting, then once you're at those higher doses, 15 drops is about, we said to get up to 40. So, but slowly, and noticing, really important is noticing as it goes up, as you increase it, do you start to get more anxious, more hypervigilant, more nervous? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. Well, I have been experiencing a lot of emotional upset and stress lately, but I think there's a lot going on in terms of my move. I'm going to be moving in a few weeks and just general things. I don't know if there's anything that I can't think of a reason for.
Okay.
So.
Right. Well, watch it though. Then I would go super slowly. If you're going to increase it, just increase it a little bit and do it with the intent of I'm going to see how this affects me, as opposed to just it's part of my day and, oh, I'm a little more anxious, but I've got this move coming. You know what I mean? Because we don't want to aggravate that. And whatever dose you get to is your dose, right? 40 might be what's on the bottle, but 40 is a lot. 40 is a lot. So I think at 15, if you just stayed at 15 and stayed there for 2 to 3 months, then retested your homocysteine and your CBC, that would give us an indication of whether that's shifting.
Okay. I did purchase the discounted end of year.
Oh, cool.
The CWP, is that what it's called? The one that
CWP, right? That would include that, but it won't have the homocysteine. You'd have to include. You'd have to add the homocysteine to that.
Okay.
I'm looking to see if we have your. Scorecards. Oh, my thing went away. Okay, so.
Do you think that's a better way to approach it rather than doing a genetics test?
Well, the genetics tell you what you have a tendency towards. These factors tell you what your body's actually doing.
Mm.
So knowing that you have the genetics will say, oh, I've got to always be careful about these and keep supplementing. It's not a transient thing that I depleted myself and it'll get better. It's like, yeah, I'm probably going to have to supplement this all over. The other thing that getting the genetics would do is let us see if there is an issue with the COMT, which if you take too much of the methyl groups can make you anxious, right? And make you, so you can certainly get it. You can get it for $99. It's not like a super expensive test. This methylation factor one that I was telling you about, that's like a $300-$400 test. I'd rather not have to do that. I'd rather use the CWP plus homocysteine and then get the genetics because it's just so nice to know, like, what do I have to avoid, right? What are things that I may have to be really careful about making sure I get plenty of as a result of my genetics? And we will be doing a group call about this. Usually we do those in June or July, where I'll just go through and just go through everybody's genetics and share with you what the different most important factors. I do not go through all 49 pages of SNPs that, you know, some of the labs test for or some of the reports show for, but I'll show you what the most important ones are and how that affects you, how that could be affecting you.
So, okay.
Certainly worth getting. And it usually takes about 4 to 8 weeks, depending on how backed up the lab is, to get the results. So it's not like you go take your blood and 3 days later you have it. So make sure you get it sooner rather than later, so that when we do the call, usually, like I said, it's usually in July, late June, early July, that we do that test. Okay? Because here's the thing. I usually don't want to do it too far at the beginning, unless, of course, somebody's been doing a whole bunch of stuff and there's specific stuff going on that I want to know. And I know a lot of you wanted to know, and for very, very specific and good reasons. But for a lot of folks, it's just, let's do the basics, because that's what we're going to be, that's what we're going to be addressing with the genetics. And there's specific things like, oh, you might have to take extra vitamin A, and oh, you might have to take extra vitamin B12 based on your genes. But the main way that you fix it is by the stress reduction, all the pillars, right? That's your best bet. Even, I don't know if you've read or heard of this Dirty Genes book by Ben Lynch, right? And that's what he keeps saying. Look, he runs a supplement company. He could just say, oh, and you have this SNP, get this supplement. He could make a fortune doing that, right? Because people respect him and they listen to him and they'd be running out and buying all the supplements. He goes, no, you know, the first few days of it, he's doing a cleanse. He's like, you got to clean up. You got to clean up your act. You got to get your pillars going. So it's really, I think I like his approach, the way he approached it in there. Because so many people are like, what supplements should I take for that? Like Amy Yasko, holy cow, you go to her thing and she runs this report. And everybody has 14 pages of supplements to take, which of course she'll sell you, right? So I'm like, I'm perfectly healthy. I don't need 14 pages of, you know, yeah, I'm going to take some extra B12 here and there. I'm going to take some extra vitamin A because of my SNPs. Yeah, I'm going to avoid this food and that food and that. I'm going to meditate. I'm going to do heart math. I'm going to do all this stuff because if I don't, my SNPs will get me in the grave very soon, right? But do I need 14 pages of supplements? I don't like that approach. So I really like his approach, which very well parallels what we're doing here. It's, you know, you're under a lot of stress. Make sure you're doing your heart math 5 times a day or something. If you prefer tapping, if you prefer meditation, if you prefer, like, there's really cool brain gym type stuff. And there are a couple of references in my class. I'm going to pull out some of those references that people have used. So many cool brain exercises that you can do to balance things out, you know, and to just keep you in that, get you in the chill zone, right? That's where we really want to be, because that's where healing happens. Healing happens in the chill zone. It doesn't happen in the right zone. And most of us are running around in that zone. And that's what's hurting people. 75% of all illness is directly related. I would tend to say 100% of all illness is related to stress, maybe 99%. But 75% of what you do in this program, the stress piece is the most important. Yeah. Food stress is a big stress too. So the food piece is important in that regard. But yeah, so I would just, like, right now when you're going through this move and you got this extra stress, just take those extra 2 minutes here and there and everywhere. Just go, oh, there I go again. Okay. I just doing that right that second makes all the difference. So for everybody, you know, make sure that you're doing it over and over and over. Okay.
Yeah, I've got to get, I mean, just starting the habit of trying to do that regularly and make a practice of doing it all the time.
Here's what
I haven't been doing up until now.
Do you know what sticky notes are?
Yeah.
Everybody knows what sticky notes are. You get a pad of sticky notes and you draw a heart, right? You draw a heart. You draw a heart. You make a whole slew of these and you just post them throughout your house. You post it on your purse. You post it on your steering wheel. You post it on the radio in the car. You post it on your computer screen. You post it and that reminds you, right? You may get pretty annoyed with those little things after a while, but you'll just get in the habit. Oh yeah, there it goes. And every time you see one, you just go. That's all you need to do, right? Hand over your heart. Close your eyes if you're not driving. If you're driving, you go. One breath. And it makes a huge difference in your physiology, a huge, and focus on the exhale, like really pushing that exhale.
Yeah, I just went through the psych case sessions with Michelle Anderson. And
that's going to make a huge difference, but you do.
And she's the one that got me to start this practice and set a timer on my phone and
yes,
do that regularly.
Yes.
As well as we went through a lot of releasing beliefs and things, muscle testing and that kind of stuff. So it was really good.
It was good?
Yeah.
Right. I'm so glad that you did that. I know she had like 15, if anybody saw it in the newsletter and interested, it could be really helpful to do that. So she's offering I think she has room for 15 people to do that for. So great. I'm so glad.
Yeah.
I'm really glad. That's the piece that's going to do it.
That's what I've been doing, but I haven't been doing it routinely. I've been doing it more like when I felt I needed it.
Yeah, you can't just do it when you think you need it because you know what? You get so far gone and you don't have the practice that it's really hard. I mean, when I first started it, I had a 3-year-old. I had a very wild 3-year-old, you know, and he was oppositional all the way. And I would learn this stuff and I'd be like, I'm trying to use it when he triggered me. And I'd be like laying on the floor going, okay, you can do this. Okay, you can do this. I just want to go yell at him. I'm going to take away all this privilege. I'd go, calm down. You know, because you feel like you deserve, right? I deserve to be upset. It's okay for me to be upset, right? No, it's hurting you to be upset. So it just took a lot of practice. My lovely younger son gave me so much practice in heart math, And I'm grateful for him now because he doesn't trigger me anymore. And he still can do stuff, you know, they can always do that. But I had some pretty much more serious things than him, you know, slipping on his Legos and me straining my hamstring, which happened 3 or 4 times. Much more serious stuff than that. And I've learned to just calm it down and, you know, cause you stay in your problem solving brain when you can come from that place. And as soon as you, as soon as you lose it, right, as soon as you get into that stress mode, you're in reptilian brain. And there's not much you can do besides fight, flight, or flee. That's it, right? So we always have to just be trying to get ourselves back into that, right? Yeah. We can do this. Yeah, but get the supplements, make them consistent. Get the zinc. The zinc's super important. Yeah, zinc's super important for your stomach acid and for your absorption. And then get the test redone and, like, you know, do it consistently for 2 months. So you've started it in I would say, let's see, it's April, May.
It's the middle of April.
It's the end. Yeah, I would do at the end of June. 2 months will be fine because I don't want you to go too far because I want to be able to have you to analyze it with you. So
okay.
So do it at the end of June. You should see some major changes there. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Who's left? Paula.
Yeah. I want to get clarity on doing the salt flush for the thyroid. We talked about this last week on the ERC Gold Call, and I increased the salt to a half a teaspoon into 2 cups of water, and I do that first thing in the morning.
All 2 cups? You just scarf it right down?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I go to the bathroom, and then I do that. And I'm not clear. I read, you know, the information, the iodine information on, you know, in one of the places that you had suggested. And it said to follow that with a lot of water, just regular water. Is that what I'm supposed to be doing, or just doing the salt water and then, you know, and then I eat my breakfast? So.
Yeah. So you're taking half a quart of water. So 16 ounces of water, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you could do it. I don't know if it'll make a difference, but it's really, you want to make sure that you're flushing the system with water. So you could have it in a small amount of water, scarf it down, and then drink a lot of water. Or you could do it the way you're doing it.
Okay.
I think, you know, play with it both ways and see. I think 2 cups of water right then is fine. You may want to add a third one and just play with the amount and see how you feel. Okay. Cause the idea is that you want to do that to prevent you from getting the detox symptoms from the bromine and the fluoride leaving your body.
So the salt flush isn't actually removing the bromine or fluoride. It's supposed to be preventing.
Flushing away the toxins.
Okay. Flushing,
yep.
So what's actually getting the bromine out?
The iodine.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So when you increase the iodine, it displaces the bromine and the fluoride on the receptors. So it releases those, and those can be very toxic to your body.
Right.
Cause symptoms. So you're flushing them out. But the iodine, it's what's displacing it. You just have to make sure you're, you know, pooping and peeing to get rid of it.
Okay. Yeah, I started the iodine drops the next morning, which would have been last Wednesday. So I've done one drop. Today was the 7th day. So tomorrow I will add another drop. But I did have an episode of vertigo this afternoon, and I had not had anything like that for several months since I stopped taking the iodine. So we'll see. You know,
you may have to do one drop a day for 6 months to get it all out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that's what your tolerance level is. So if today was the first day on 2, do it again tomorrow. If you have vertigo again, then the next day go back down to 1.
Okay.
Vertigo goes away, you know, we got the suspect and that's your dose. And then maybe you do that for a while, maybe do that for a month and then say, well, I wonder what happens if I add another drop. But if you get the vertigo back, then one drop is your dose.
I only had one drop this morning and had the vertigo this afternoon, so I haven't had 2 drops yet.
Ooh.
Yeah, right.
Maybe you'll have to have 1 drop every other day. So, yeah, play with it. Don't increase it to 2 then. Yeah.
Okay.
Just try it again tomorrow, and maybe it was a fluke. But if it has thrown something off in your inner ear mechanism, whether it's central vertigo or peripheral vertigo, it's hard to know.
Right.
Yeah. So if that's the case, go every other day.
What kind of salt?
Salt,
like Himalayan salt.
Yeah, that's what I'm using.
Yeah. And actually, what's his name? Brownstein talks about doing it much higher doses of the salt, but I'm a little concerned about the higher doses of the salt. So Let's just, I would stick to this right now.
Does that affect blood pressure?
Oh yeah, it could definitely. That's why if somebody has hypertension, I won't do it. Most people that we recommend it to usually are people who are adrenally fatigued and have hypotension. So it's not a problem, but yeah, you want to monitor that. It's kind of like licorice, right? Licorice is a great adaptogenic, you know, adrenal stimulant type herb. But if somebody has high blood pressure already, I, you know, maybe give them a tiny bit of licorice in a formula, but monitor, monitor, monitor. Because I induced hypertension in myself by too much. I went from hypotensive to hypertensive by, try this stuff, it's yummy. Let me have some more. And I overdid it. So yeah, I would be careful with it.
Okay, I'll avoid it then.
Yeah, I would do it.
Can you do that with a licorice tea as well?
You could if you do a lot, right? If you're just doing the tea bags, it's kind of hard to do. But if you're getting the pieces of licorice and then doing a decoction where you're simmering it for a long time, you're getting a lot out of it, then yeah, you could. There was one case that one of Dr. Jonathan Wright, I don't know if you guys have heard of him, but he was talking about in a lecture that I was in with him. And he talked about this guy, hypotensive and adrenal fatigue, and he put him on licorice tea. And he liked it so much that he was drinking a quart or two a day. And one day he got a call from the wife and they rushed him to the emergency room. His blood pressure was over the top. He was having bad headaches and vision problems and all. Turned out his blood pressure was over the top because he overdid it. But he was drinking a quart or two a day and he was doing the decoction. The tea bags, you know, it's not that strong, right? Okay. But I would, if you have a tendency towards hypertension, I'd always monitor it. Yeah. I bought an adrenal, which I really liked from the same company you're doing, the restorative formulations. They have a nice adrenal. It's a syrup. So that has, I forget the herbs in it, but I really liked it. So I went and ordered some more. I felt really good on it. I ordered some more and then suddenly I'm like, why am I feeling like, you know, this edema in my feet? And I took my blood pressure and it was up. I bought the wrong formula. It was called the adrenal HTN, hypo or something like that. And it had a ton of licorice in it. So it was for people with hypotension and adrenal fatigue. And I'm suddenly going, oh, not good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm checking my blood pressure and I'm actually kind of hypotensive these days. Yeah. So, yeah. The salt is not
affecting it. Yeah.
Not having a negative impact at all. No.
If you're hypo, like being under 100 over whatever.
Yeah, you know, sometimes. 60. Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah. Then you could probably safely increase it to 3/4 of a teaspoon and see how it goes, right? And get into that dose. But there's so many people out there with occult hypertension. Like they don't know they're sensitive to it because they're maintaining because of their diet. But then suddenly you add this extra load and they go into hypertension. And I don't want to see anybody do that. So I'm always really cautious with that.
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay. Cool. Okay. Anything else, Paula?
No, it's getting late.
It's getting late. It's time for bed. What is it? 9:30?
Yeah.
10:30
for Red.
Cece had left because it was late for her and she left a note and asked if I would make sure that you answered it and she'll listen.
Oh, she says, come on, if you're in the East Coast and you're on, raise your hand early, like Rich, you know, raise your hand early. Right? Yeah.
She said, not feeling great these days, tired and somewhat weak, might be detoxing, so I need to go to bed now. Could I add some juicing and smoothies for other meals and see how I feel? Moving. Let's see. Oh, I'm thinking the MediClear Plus might be good for me right now. Could I add some juicing and smoothies for other meals and see how I feel?
Doing the MediClear Plus on a meal and then do, and she can also do juice as the basis for the MediClear Plus. Yes. Now, very different from what I recommended for Sandra because Sandra's dealing with this reaction and we don't want to add any variables to it until we see how she does on that hypoallergenic formula. But yeah, she could. She could definitely do that.
So she could add the MediClear to the juice base.
She could, use that as a juice base. That way she's fortifying it. So that's what I'll typically do with people. If they're not doing a histamine reaction, right, or they're not oxalate sensitive, right. I'll have them do a juice or a green powder, whichever they prefer, and fortify that so that it makes it more food-like. But in Sandra's case, or if somebody's having a lot of of reactions to stuff, then I really want the hypoallergenic effect. So I don't want food. I want nutrients.
So she could put it in the smoothies too.
She could put it in the smoothie. Yep. She could put it in the smoothie. She could put it in juice. She could have it alone. She could play with it. Yeah, there's a lot of ways she could handle it. She could do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
If there's anything else you want to share with her, that was her only question.
That's all. That sounds good. And, you know, it depends. I can't tell whether she's having a detox reaction or a depletion reaction because she's very small, and I want to differentiate between a detox reaction and then nutrients that are getting out of balance, you know. So I think that knowing what she's eating, like seeing a food chart, would be an important thing.
And I remember that Shonda had posted something about niacin.
Did she add niacin?
She had asked because she's her coach, and she had posted on the Facebook page wondering if that would, where did it go? Oh, how to switch to glandular. And then would it be a good idea to get a niacin to increase body heat?
Yeah. I mean, she can certainly try that. That's what I recommended to Rich, right? But again, get the 50 and go slowly. She's a very sensitive person. Like, she is drop doses. So I'm always hesitant to like try something to increase body heat. As far as switching to glandulars, that's, you know.
Yeah. I think you'd mentioned too.
And working on like, what's the cause of the thyroid imbalance, and really working on the gut and working on the adrenals, working on the blood sugar, because I know she had some blood sugar stuff. So without all of that, it's hard for me to tell. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. So I think that's it.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Any last questions before we say goodnight? Okay, Rich. Okay.
I did the toxic metals urine test, and thallium really came up high out of all the different heavy metals. What might I be exposed to get so much thallium?
That's a tough one because I'm seeing it a lot. Like, I think first contrast dyes, like if you had, but you didn't have any contrast studies.
Yeah. You know, you are still having some close proximity to 9/11, and all of that stuff can drift over. They're finding people on the East Coast, especially having high in thallium. Because of that. Yep.
Yeah. So I think we had talked about some of the modified citrus pectin for removing it, higher dose vitamin C. Zeolite is another one. You can get powdered zeolite from Health Force Nutritionals, and you can add that to smoothies, or you could just have it as a thing right before you go to bed. That helps to draw toxins out. Charcoal. There's a company I met, you know, I meet all these companies when I go to these things, and everybody's trying to sell me their supplements, but I'm going to look into, they had a detox one that was a combination of clay, charcoal, and zeolites and some other nutrients. So I'm going to look into that, and see what, you know, what actually, if it's any better than just these individual things, but those kind of things can help draw it out. The modified citrus pectin. And again, there were a few other things in the protocols that I'm going to be pulling out and writing down for
the cilantro would help.
Cilantro could, and like, I'll tell people, make cilantro pesto, right? So you get some cilantro instead of using basil for pesto, you do cilantro. And I like to make it with some pumpkin seeds, good high zinc source, right? So you soak some pumpkin seeds, throw them in the food processor, throw a bunch of cilantro in, you know, add a little garlic if you like. Garlic's a good sulfur containing. If you're not sensitive to it, it's a good detox. And then you just eat that on a regular basis. Yummy. And now you got to go slow with it in some cases. I think you're a little more hardy as far as your detox reactions, because some people are very, very sensitive. And even just a little bit of that cilantro pesto would be too much at that point. So when you do it, you also want to do the excretion parts. So a lot of people, a lot of things are good at mobilizing the toxins from the stores, but you also have to have the things that get rid of it. So sweating in a sauna, sweating, you know, jumping on the rebounder, getting the lymphatic flowing, excretion, increasing the excretion, making sure you're moving your bowels two or three times a day, and making sure that, you know, the channels of sweat are open, which you do. I know you do a lot of exercise, so that's good. And then, you know, zeolites or clay, diatomaceous earth, those kinds of things to help pull the stuff out.
Good.
Okay.
Got it.
Okay, good. All right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate you being here. And
have a good trip.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. All right. So you guys have a vital call without me on Thursday, and I would highly recommend you show up. Jan, who's one of our coaches, is going to be talking about autism, but it's more than just autism. And we know, we all know people on the autistic spectrum, but it's, you know, it's about the stuff that really makes an autistic kid autistic. A lot of it is that cleansing and detox. So she'll be talking a bit about that. We're going to make sure, Lynn's going to make sure she slows down. She's just talking.
Well, I'm only going to be on it for a little bit because I'm flying from Florida, where I've been helping my mom.
Okay, so somebody's going
to Utah.
No, going to be on with her.
Nobody.
She can do it herself. Okay, she can do it.
Well,
okay.
You know, I told her that I can monitor the chat because I can look at it on the plane.
Yeah, you just
I just can't listen. So I can at least
monitor
do
the
that.
Chat.
I can do that. But I know she was listening to, because we were talking about it. I'd been sharing some resources because I have a grandson also on the autism spectrum, and so she listened last week to the Autism World Summit, mm-hmm. and so she's gonna be.
She's going to be adding a lot of stuff. Yeah, she had talked to, she did a talk where she was, it was like 15
I know it.
time slot, but she had like 45 minutes worth of slides and information. And this was at Shine, not this last year, but the year before. And she got up there and you think I talk fast? And I'm sitting there going, she's like, yeah, but you can watch the video. I'm like, okay, we're going to have to watch the video at quarter speed.
I know.
Okay, slow down.
Yeah.
Have time on the vital call, and she's going to do a thing for that. But it's worthwhile to listen to, even if you don't have a loved one on the spectrum, just because there's so much that goes into, you know, the food sensitivities, right? There's so many things about the autistic kids. It's like we can all apply some of that stuff to ourselves.
Absolutely.
Right. My great nephew is... has autism.
Great next nephew. There's so, it's like so many kids have it these days. It was unheard of back in.
Yes, like, vaccinations is causing
definitely, and it's so it's how we're processing all those chemicals,
right?
And
it's that toxic load, right? And the vaccines. Most of the you see these cases that it's like 2 weeks after, 2 days after.
Yes, too early. It's way too early.
Never be putting that stuff into a little body like that that can't detoxify it. And it's a combination. Not all kids that are vaccinated have the problem, but you look at SNPs, like we've all looked at, you know, and several of you have looked at your own SNPs. If you've got faulty methylation and faulty detox pathways, and you're this little tiny baby and you're shot up with six of these chemical laden vaccines that have, maybe they don't have mercury.
It's more than six.
But they have aluminum and they have all these excipients, and yeah, it's more than six. It's like, yeah, it's over the top. But there's so many people out there that are convinced that the drug companies have our best interest at heart. And it's a very tough conversation to get into because even very intellectual people are very, they've been, in my opinion,
it's an emotional topic.
But the herd mentality, and like, my kids weren't vaccinated. They didn't get sick as much as their counterparts. Who was it that said this the other day on a call that said, oh, it was Beatrice, who's 72.
Oh, yes.
She's been taking care of her whole family who have the flu. And her son said something, and she goes,
he was upset she didn't get the flu.
I didn't get the flu shot. Who was the only one that didn't get the flu? Was her. They all got the flu. Right. And she's taking care of them and making food for them. And she didn't get the shot, but they all did. And they gave her her time because people are just, it's like this brainwashing. There must be some subliminal, I don't know. People get very.
Well, it's bad because then you get accused of child abuse. I mean, that's the worst aspect of it, you know?
Yes, they can force you. Now, Texas is a what's the thing called the conscientious objector state.
See, I'm not.
When you took that out. All I had to do to not vaccinate my kids was take this form and fill it out and take it.
I lied.
I told them I was Christian Scientist the first year, right? I said, oh, I'm a Christian Scientist. I don't, you know, we don't believe in that. But then they passed the conscientious objector. So all I had to do is say, you know, but yeah, it's crazy. And then they'll, the crazy part is the medical exemptions are so hard to get. So mom has
now
baby.
They're really becoming
baby has this horrific response to the vaccines, and it's documented. They had a fever for days, and they were awful, and they felt terrible. And now this kid's autistic. The next kid comes along. They don't say, well, there might be something in the genetics, and we're kind of nervous about this. No, they give it to them. Why? Because the vaccine companies cannot be sued. There's this whole law thing that they cannot be sued. And the government has this fund that they're allowed to pay people that are vaccine injured. But they give them such a hard time, and it takes
you years. Have to sign something saying you can't say anything.
It's
there's at least. Yeah, they're not liable, and they don't have to disclose what's in the crap that's in there.
Yeah.
There's actually a study that just came out of Europe that's showing it's part of it has to do with there's macrophages that are showing up at the injection site, and then they take it right to your brain. They have this whole study. It is the vaccines.
It is. But they don't want to believe it. And then it's horrific. My husband has a couple of friends who are medical doctors, and he just went on this trip with them, and they were over our house for a while, and they're having this discussion, and it was, you know, the medical doctor and a couple of the others, and they're talking about flu shots, right? And they're starting to say, oh yeah, of course I got my flu shot. Well, I got the flu anyway. Yeah, but it would have been worse if you didn't. And they're having this conversation, and I'm sitting there like, I didn't want to get into this conversation with them because I know that they're going to just quack me down. You're just a quack. You know, this is medical. It's proven. And I just didn't want to get into the conversation. I just walked out of the room and, you know, you can't go anywhere when somebody's rabidly when they've been brainwashed like that, you know, and medical, that's what they learned. That there's studies. What studies? What studies showed the same
thing? And who paid for the study?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay, so before we go, I put in the chat the reference to Michael Merzenich. He's the neuroplasticity guy that I was talking about. And Brain HQ is his deal.
Okay.
You have to go a little further up.
A little further up. Okay.
Yeah, I was pretty impressed with this stuff. And the brain training, you know, every day you can sign up for a deal. So every day you get an email and you do a little brain thing.
Oh, nice. Oh, I love it. Okay. I'm going to make a copy of this because so many people in our program have had brain injuries, right? Traumatic brain injuries. And that just mucks with everything. And when we can retrain the brain, there's so much there.
So we're trying to prevent Alzheimer's.
Of course, trying to prevent Alzheimer's. Who wants Alzheimer's, right? And when we look at this stuff, let me just put this in.
I mean, we're already doing a lot of things through your program and your type of lifestyle that addresses
that. That prevents it. And the more you can do, the better.
This is just another element, another piece of it.
I think it's an important piece of it. And that's what they were talking about. I'll compile the percentages and the statistics and maybe create a little presentation for you guys because I just think it's so important. I just think it's super important. And who knows, right? Some health issues that we're having now, right? These imbalances that are difficult. Maybe that was caused by vaccines, right? Maybe that it just put enough of a stress on a methylation issue or a detox weakness that it didn't create autism, but
it wasn't as bad back when we were kids.
It wasn't as bad.
I mean, they weren't given as many and as early.
That's right. That's right. It wasn't.
So that's why we're kind of spared right now. But man, think of what's on the horizon for these kids that are coming up, you know?
What is it, 1 in 6 boys now? Or
you're going to have that vaccination. The vaccination issues coupled with the Alzheimer's issues. It's going to be even worse.
Yeah, and then they're on these crappy diets, right? So they're not vaccinated. They're vaccinated, and then they're drinking, you know, cow's formula with high fructose corn syrup and GMO soy in it and on, right? It just, the deterioration happens. And one of our coaches, Janet, is, some of you might be in her group, but she is creating a program for baby boomers. She wants to go for the grandkids, the grandparents to say, here's how you can help support your grandkids. And her statistics are coming. You know what? We're outliving our grandchildren. Like, do you want to outlive your grandchildren? That shouldn't be happening, right? Yep. And so she's. Yep.
This is the first generation where they will not live longer than their ancestors.
It's crazy. And then we go, wow, yeah, the chemicals are fine. Better living through chemistry. We're protecting, increased food supply. And so I get so passionate about this, and I want people to be out there and teaching it and changing it, because we got to change this. I'm just a little careful about being super outspoken in the public media about autism, like on Facebook, because I don't know if you've heard about it, but there's like been 80 holistic doctors that have been mysteriously died in the last year.
Yep.
My son's always telling me, don't talk about vaccines. Don't talk about it. Don't tell people how you feel about it. Don't share that in public, because I fear for your safety.
Yeah. I mean, look at the emails Aaron Elizabeth sends out every week.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And one of those folks, when Lynn told me about it, I was shocked. I spoke at an event last year with one of the doctors that committed suicide. There's no way she committed suicide. I got to spend, a day with her, and she was the most upbeat and positive and had this mission in the world. There's no way this woman would have committed suicide. Right. And I was, it just really touched me, because I didn't know the others, but to know somebody personally and have met them and had a conversation and seeing their passion and, but she was outspoken against vaccine relationship to autism. Hmm. So, we just, on the one hand, we want to educate people, but on the other hand, we want us all to stay alive so we can continue to educate people.
Right.
Crazy. It's crazy. So I appreciate you guys. And the more you know, the more you're going to share with other people, and the more people are going to go, huh, wow, I didn't know that. Tell me more. And the ones who say, move on, right? That's what I've learned to do, move on. But there's enough people that are doing what they're doing from ignorance. They just don't know. And once they learn, they go, okay, tell me what to do. That's how I was. I mean, I was on M&Ms and Triscuits and ice cream and, got sick, went to the doctor, took antibiotics. I did all that stuff until I learned the truth, until the doctors didn't have anything for me except ulcer medication and Valium and steroids for my sinuses. And they had this whole host of medications at 25, by the way. And I said, this is ridiculous. What can we do? And when I heard, I'm like, okay, I'm changing this. And there's a lot of people out there. So don't be afraid to share. Don't shove it down anybody's throat. But, be open to sharing what you're doing and how you're looking to change it, right? And know that there's ups and downs. And I know, Sandra, you're having one of those downs. And there's ups and downs on this thing, but you're going to get there. And we're going to support your liver and support your gut and help to get the histamine levels down and then really build you up. So that, but it's better than going out. What does medicine have to offer you? Have some Benadryl, right? Have some Benadryl. Oh, you have it on your skin. Have some steroids. Let's put some steroid cream on it to make that rash go away. And that's not the solution, but you laugh, Rich, but that's what they say, right? We think, some of the stuff I say, I'm thinking, oh, I'm over the top. And then somebody else comes in and tells me their story. And I'm like, I can't believe they told you that. I cannot believe they told you that. Some of the stuff, it just goes out my head. They couldn't have really told you that, but they do. It's insanity, total insanity. And we need more attorneys defending the doctors who are going against medical, criteria to say, look, they're doing this, and to defend parents. I don't know if any of your colleagues or anybody are involved with that, but the parents who are being forced to vaccinate their kids or to treat them in certain ways and having them taken away. Like one of the practitioners in our program, took her daughter away because she was sending to school and saying, no, she can't eat this. No, she can't eat that. And then they found out that she had been diagnosed with diabetes before, and she wasn't on insulin or metformin. But her sugars were fine. Her A1C went down. She'd lost a bunch of weight. Then they started telling her that the daughter was being starved because she only was 100 pounds. Well, she was 4'10". What the hell do you expect her to weigh at 4'10"? They actually, she's in a custody case, and she's asked me to help her with some expert witness stuff. That's to try horrible. To get the daughter back. And it's just, it's horrible. And now they took the daughter away and started feeding her. She'd had her off gluten. She'd done testing. She knew what she was allergic to. They put her back on all this stuff. The kid's now up to 170 pounds.
Oh.
That horrible, and she feels awful, and her headaches are back, and her PMS is back, and all the symptoms that had gotten under control. And the kid is autistic, right? Or retarded. One or the, she's autistic. So the kid is like, doesn't have the full capacity to really.
She had some behavioral issues anyway with stealing food.
Right. So this is what's going on for real. And we know these folks who it's happening to. So we just have to trust the body, give the body what it takes, understand that you're going to have your ups and downs. But it's going to be a road that is well worth traveling. So worth traveling, right? We're so worth it. Just think I'm worth it. Okay.
Ready.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you soon. Have a good one.
Have a safe trip.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Good night. Good night.